Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Before I read this text, I just wanted to remind that this is a very special day indeed, where the whole country celebrates someone who is very special in our lives. Of course, I am talking about Mother's Day. And what a great opportunity it is for us to just stop our daily routine and to think a little bit about how much our mothers really mean to us. And today, to give them a special attention, a special hug, a special kiss, a special thank you for all of their hard work. You know, it is kind of funny when men or when husbands are left at home with their children for a few hours while the mother goes out to a store or a ladies' retreat or a ladies' event, men quickly realize how difficult it is that mothers have it. And on behalf of all the men, I just want to say thank you, moms. Thank you for all your hard work. One of the things that mothers have to deal with often is anxiety. As a matter of fact, according to Anxiety and Depression Association of America, women are twice as much affected with anxiety as men are. Nearly one half of those affected with anxiety also often face depression. Anxiety causes panic disorder, social disorder, eating disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, sleep disorder, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, stress, and these symptoms often cause people to hurting themselves or even having thoughts of suicide. Anxiety is a very serious problem, and chances are that either you yourself are dealing with this, or at least you know someone who's dealing with it. Since anxiety and depression is so powerful, have you ever thought to yourself, how could it be that Jesus' disciple Peter, on the very night of his execution, being in that cold jail chamber, how was it that he was sound asleep? Is it possible that Peter knew something that other people need to know today also? Is it possible that Peter learned how to deal with stress and life troubles by trusting in the Lord? How could it be that in such troubles one can find such peace? The wickedness of this world, misery, death, they evoke fear, stress, and anxiety. But today, we will see that Scripture gives us an antidote to deal with anxiety. Let's look in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We'll be reading from verse 4 through 7. I will be reading from the NASB. Chapter 4, Philippians, verses 4 through 7, the New American Standard. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This text gives us three steps to overcome anxiety. These steps are rejoice in the Lord, respond in the Lord, and rest in the Lord. Let's look quickly at our first step, and that is to rejoice in the Lord. Look with me at verse 4. We read, the verse begins with these words. It starts with, rejoice in the Lord. The word rejoice is an imperative command, and Paul is telling the Philippian Christians, he's telling them, I want you to rejoice. You know, it is remarkable to even think that Paul could have even written this letter, as we know now that he himself was being imprisoned while he wrote this letter. Could you imagine being imprisoned, chained to maybe a Roman soldier or Roman guard and writing an epistle? Can you imagine the difficult circumstances that Paul had faced while he wrote this? In spite of his imprisonment, Paul's main purpose of this letter is to exhort other believers to rejoice. And he does that multiple times throughout this epistle. Today in our text, verse 4 tells us that he is wishing the Philippian church to rejoice. Is it not true that sometimes trials and pressures of this life make it very difficult for us to be happy? How does it make you feel that this great country of ours is becoming more and more liberal? Homosexuality is promoted. Gender neutrality is being elevated. Our children are being brainwashed by this world and its system of total corruption, not to mention of the trials that you are facing in your own personal life. It may have been that you have received some news recently that makes you uncertain about your future. Maybe you have lost someone recently who you really loved. Maybe there are family problems. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with your spouse. Maybe it's a work situation. Beloved, has happiness fled from you? Are you in despair today? Has the Lord brought you here to this church to comfort you, to encourage you, to rejoice? But what does this word rejoice mean? You know, some wrongly take this joy as purely a human emotion, and therefore they misunderstand Paul's commandment. You may be asking, how is it that people are commanded to produce an emotion? Or maybe, am I supposed to force myself to smile when there's great sorrow in my life? No, beloved, it's none of that. You see, because this joy is not a mere feeling. It is a joy that comes from a deeper confidence that God has everything in His control, and that God is working all things out for the believer's good and God's glory. You see, this joy does not depend on your changing circumstances, but it depends on your faith in an unchanging God. Beloved, regardless of what your life looks like today, here are some reasons for you to rejoice. Your life has earned you eternal condemnation. You have sinned against God, and you have been found guilty, and you deserve hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ ransomed you for Himself. You are now assured of salvation because you have believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are His elect. You are the chosen one for salvation. Rejoice because you belong to the Lord and He is watching over you. You also have grounds to rejoice because Jesus promises to take you to eternal paradise where there will be no more sickness, there will be no more tears, and there will be no more death. But instead, you will receive a new glorified body and a sinless nature. You will be finally free from all of your temptations and all of your sinful actions. Therefore, rejoice in the Lord. Notice the word always in this verse. This word always means that we should rejoice in times of blessings and in times of despair. Believers must always remember that God is sovereign over all things, and He's in control of all situations. God causes all things to work together for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Surely there are many circumstances in which Christians cannot be happy, but beloved, Paul is not telling his readers to be happy. He is exhorting his readers to rejoice in the Lord. This joy does not come from our needs to be happy, but it comes from our faith in the Lord. Notice that Paul's hard circumstances, nor the Philippians' dangerous persecutions, allowed them to diminish their Christian joy. Paul concludes this verse with the words, "Again, I will say, rejoice." So Paul begins this verse with the word rejoice, and he ends this verse with the word rejoice. Since Paul repeats it twice, we know that it is not a suggestion, but it is a command of supreme importance. Therefore, a believer must be obedient and find inward joy in his heart. Dear Christian, today you and I can obey this command to rejoice, even in the midst of our conflicts, enemies, and troubles. Horatio Spafford, born in 1828, was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was also a devout Christian and a faithful student of scriptures. His circle of friends included people such as D.L. Moody and other well-known Christians of that time. At the very height of his professional and financial success, Horatio and his wife suffered a tragic loss of their young son. Shortly after, on October 8, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every of the investments, properties that Horatio had in that area.
So in 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters some much-needed vacation and some time for grieving from their tragedies. Spafford sent his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained in Chicago for a few days to take care of some unexpected last-minute business, only to find out in a few days that his family boat was involved in a collision and all four of his daughters drowned. Only his wife had survived. And so with a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to his grieving Anna in England. It was on this trip that Spafford wrote those famous words of a beloved Christian hymn that we often sing, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well. It is well with my soul." Friends, we can be assured that all is well, no matter what the circumstances surround us, because our joy is not based on favorable circumstances. It is based in the Lord. And Paul uses repetition to emphasize this truth. Regardless if you're in a trial or if you're free from it, I beg you, make God your delight. Remember that it is a commandment. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do not be content to be only moderately happy. Seek to rejoice with all of your heart. Today, may you rejoice in the Lord, for it is the first step in dealing with anxiety. Friend, if you're not a believer today, know that this joy is not an empty hope, but it is based on the assurance of God's goodness and grace. It is the faith in the Lord that allows Christians to truly rejoice in their trials. Those with little knowledge of God find it very difficult to rejoice. You may think that you're experiencing anxiety now, but have you thought of your destiny? Have you thought of your eternal state? Know that Christ has come to this earth to bear punishment for sinners. He was perfect in all things, and yet he was condemned as a sinner. He was crucified as a criminal, but on the third day, he arose, for he was the Son of God. If you are a sinner, he is offering to you today eternal salvation from condemnation. Do believe in the Lord, and together with the rest of us believers, rejoice in the Lord. Quickly, let's look at step two in dealing with anxiety. Respond in the Lord. Verse 5 tells us that it's dealing with anxiety is reflected in our external reactions to different situations. If our first and third steps are vertical, which are rejoice in the Lord and rest in the Lord, then they serve as book covers for this second step, which is horizontal. It is respond in the Lord, and it has to deal with us dealing with other people. Look at our text. It tells us, "Let your gentle spirit be known." This word for gentle spirit has a meaning of sweet, reasonable, generous, good-willing, friendly, merciful attitude. This gentle spirit is an inner quality in how we respond in relation to different situations in our life. Think about, how do unbelievers respond to assaults? How would unbelievers respond to different confrontations, life challenges, troubles? Probably with some foul language or some kind of retaliation, right? But what about believers in those same situations? Why would they respond differently? Well, first of all, we know that the Holy Spirit empowers believers to produce a certain spiritual fruit. We know this from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Only when a Christian has inner joy can he genuinely produce a gentle spirit. It is impossible for an angry man to be gentle. And our text tells us that in the midst of trials, it is important for us to respond in the Lord. In other words, being gentle means to respond with love and peace, not with retaliation. Also notice the clause, "to all men." Notice that our joy is not to be shown only among believers, but all must see that we are indeed joyful. If there's no joy in a believer, there's really a question of whether that person is really even saved. Look at Paul's reasoning for why believers are to respond in the Lord. His next clause, he says, "Our gentle spirit must be known because the Lord is near." So why be gentle? Because the Lord is near. So whatever is going on in your life today, know that the time that is left is winding down, and soon it will be over. And we will be finally with him in his glory, Therefore, respond as Christians. Respond in the Lord. Let me ask you, are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you striving to show your gentle spirit? Are you responding appropriately in your life trials? Are you thinking about Christ's return for his bride? Or are you replacing these eternal truths with your temporal worries and temporal anxiety? We are told to rejoice in the Lord, respond in the Lord, and now finally you must rest in the Lord. And that is our final step, is rest in the Lord. Look at our verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. What do you think the word nothing means in this context? Be anxious for nothing. It means to not be anxious for a single little thing that's in our lives. This is not a call for a carefree life, but it is a call not to worry. And Jesus warned people against worrying, which obviously eliminated their trust in the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. And in that final verse of that chapter, verse 34, Jesus concludes by teaching, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Therefore, relax and rest in the Lord. I promise you that in the end, everything will be okay. It will be even much better than what you have wished for. In our instructions to deal with anxiety, look how we are to practically rest in the Lord. Our text tells us, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul instructs us to come to God in prayer and express our requests. Making our requests known to God means to surrender our worries to God. Let God deal with your concerns. But these requests must be made in a mindset of thanksgiving. We have to know that God has purposed these life events to shape us. We have to know that God is powerful enough to remove us from these trials that we are facing. Praying with thanksgiving involves trusting God. And so Paul exhorts the Philippians to pray instead of being anxious. Beloved, we know that to murder, to commit adultery, to steal, to lie, to cheat, is to disobey God. But do we know that to worry is also to disobey God? What can you change by worrying? Therefore, put your trust in the Lord. Rest in the Lord by prayer and supplication and making thankful requests. In conclusion, please notice what our text promises us if we rejoice in the Lord, if we respond in the Lord, and if we rest in the Lord. Verse 7 tells us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This verse promises God's peace for believers. God himself will provide believers with his peace. This is an answer to believers' anxiety and prayer. And God promises to give them peace. Notice that this peace is beyond our comprehension. This peace is more peaceful than we can even imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us, he is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. You see, we as limited beings cannot even comprehend some of the things that an unlimited God can do in our lives. This peace is contained in assurance of our salvation. If you know that you are saved, you can be in poverty or in sickness or under slander and still feel perfectly content. Full assurance gives a man grateful zeal for the God he loves. This text teaches believers to consider their state in Christ and find inner peace in their salvation. They are to rejoice in the Lord. They are to respond in the Lord. And finally, believers are to rest in the Lord by laying all of their anxieties unto the Lord. And this text promises that God will give them peace that surpasses all comprehension. Beloved, let's make joy take place of our discontent and anxiety. Look away from yourself. And as far as your needs are concerned, bring them all to Christ. Remember the last words that Jesus promised before his ascension. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. May the Lord bless us today. Give us peace. Give us freedom from anxiety. And may his name be praised and worshiped in our hearts. Amen.